Now, what I'm going to do now, which should be short, will be kind of finishing up this first paragraph of Mishlei. Now, we started this pasuk of Lahavin Mashal Umlitza, to understand literally parables and expressions. I translated poetics and rhetoric, the art of using language to explain, to understand things, convey meaning and emotion. And Divrei Chachamim V'chidotam. Translate that as really as agadot, the words of the wise, of the Chachamim, and their riddles, things that are hard to understand. What are the Gra on this? Excuse me. Divrei Chachamim, Mechaneh Agadat Chachamim, L'chidai, compares what we call agada, the stories about Tanakh. They're like a chidah riddle, Mechaneh Divrei Enamuvanim, because they're hard to understand. Mochida, like a riddle. Avram, and you can't get them. If you don't understand the underlying purpose, then you can understand, we're calling the riddle, that this is Agada or Midrashim. It's drash, it's looking at the text through the eyes of Torah Shebaal Peh. And you really, you take it, we call it, take it seriously, but not literally. And that's where the Maharal understands it. That's when we quoted this before from the Maharal, understanding what Agadot are all about. This is from Bir HaGeulah, which is his sefer on Agadah, on Midrash. You need to understand that which was literally darsh was explained from the pasuk. It's not something that came out of the text itself. If you just had the text in front of you, you never would have said these things that we call a midrash. That is something that was understood according to the understanding of the Chachamim. It's true in of itself. They know something that's true. Again, looking at it through the eyes of the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's true, and we assume that somehow hinted at in the Torah Shebaktah. There's something there that tells us that. It's larger. Yet Torah hitimah v'yesh b'kol, because the Torah is complete, everything is in it. Right? It says that bokhba bokhba tekulaba, turn it over because everything's there. So therefore, there has to be something there that I can use, but I'm pulling the tools of Midrash to see what's being the meaning in there. And that's specifically talking about halacha. Halacha, there are hints in there. Not that we start with the text and we a priori figure out what the halacha must be, but we start with, we know the halacha is. That's Torah Shebaal Peh, and we try to find it in the text. That's the way he's learning it. Even if it seems far-fetched. So if so, it's found in the Torah somewhere. That's what Torah is all about. And then, in terms of Agada, telling the stories about the narrative side of it has the same purpose, that we're not so much looking at what happened, but we're talking about what was the underlying meaning of it, given what we know about what is true in terms of Torah. You find things that seem to be too far-fetched to understand. We should assume, reading the Talmud, that there's some kind of deeper meaning, literally hidden wisdom. And that's the language of poetics. It's an expression. And quoting our pasuk in Mishlei, that we're trying to halavin mashalum litzah, to understand poetics and rhetoric, the use of language. So, one example of that that really says what the way the Maharal looks at Midrashim, which I think determines how we look at it. Again, we're not taking it literally; we're taking it. It has real meaning. Is a story of Bat Paro and her maidservants. This is what everyone cites. So we know the story of Bat Paro when she finds little baby Moshe floating on the Nile. Atera Bat Paro lechotz al Ya'or says that Bat Paro went to bathe on the Nile, lechotz al, and her maidservants were walking along the banks of the river. But Teretz divide, she sees this little boat, little basket, the sofa, soup, among the reeds, And she sends her maidservant to and takes this basket. And it says that Naroteh, her maidservants were walking on the banks of the river. Rashi says, Rabotenu Amruk, that holchot, they were walking, is Lashon Mitzah. They went to die. Just
Well,
out the
what's
door.
that coming from?
I'm sorry?
Where's that coming from that they went
That's a
to
good question. That's kind of his point. This is one of these, wait, they're just walking there. And he says, his example, when Esav says, Hinei holoch, anochi holech lamut, right? That
die?
their
Okay,
hands
how hungry.
hold them, they're going and they're going to die. Fisha Mahuba, because these hurt those maidservants were trying to stop her from rescuing that little baby in the basket. Sayan, and the pasuk implies that something was going on. Kidlama, why add this point about her maidservants? Her servants are walking with her. She's the princess. She sees this basket. Why add that line about her maidservants were walking? So there's something there, right? That's but we're saying, well, as what do you mean they died? So here's the Maharal explaining this. Why bother? Why would the Torah say, and her maidservants were walking on the banks of the river? The mind nafka mina bizer. What do we get out of it? What's the point? That they were going, they were walking to death. Sounds very Heideggerian, right? Going, being toward death is what, right? The way we all live our lives. Because they tried to stop her, to keep her from taking, rescuing this child. Because we have this, that holech is used in tense of death, and he quotes a pasuk. It actually sounds a little better, which is that Anochi holech b'derech kol aretz. I'm going the way of all flesh. That's what holech means. We're eventually going to end up dying. And doesn't mean that we're trying to say that, well, if you're watching this right now, they would have fallen dead on the spot. But they had some kind of mita el yonah, some kind of spiritual higher level of understanding that. They lost their power, they lost their faith. Mita, that's what it means to be died. And they couldn't stop her either. Meaning what? That they lost their significance in history. When Bat Paro did something important, the maidservants are trying to stop her from rescuing this baby. They were lost to history. We never found them again. Here's the Yitzhak, and so understanding this, we understand. We can explain Mashlo. That's why he doesn't say that explicitly. Moshe, like it says, the rest of the story that he was rescued. Right, she takes him out. She looks at the baby. That's in the Pesha. That's explicit. And if really they were, if you were watching this and you've seen them die, you should have said something. So this wasn't some kind of miracle that just happened. And Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner explains what the way to look at this. What does it mean to take it seriously but not literally? Kamraz Zifrei Kachosha Marali. So what the Maral means here, and this is from Pachad Yitzchak Pesach. That we assume that God looked at Torah and created the world. So we can say that the way we look at the world with Torah, right, all these different aspects of Torah, reflect some way of understanding what the world, understanding the world. There are 70 aspects of Torah. There are equally 70 aspects of way of looking at what happens in the world. And they can, therefore. So what we call pshat, the unadorned words, and that reflects a way of looking at the world. That's we call it the world of pshat. I look at the world and I see what's happened. I don't look deeper than that. And we have this idea of remez, things that are hinted that, okay, there's a divine plan behind everything. That you can see the world also as having implications there that Hashem is behind what happens in the world. The same thing is true. All other ways of understanding Torah reflect ways of looking at the world. That's the way to understand the moral suggestion. Hitaklut. But when it says that they died, it meant they lost their ultimate fate, their mazal. And they lost their both the spiritual power because they were opposed to saving Moshe. And that has nothing to do with Pshat. Just looking at what happens, that's not what happened. So you don't see it written in the Torah of Pshat. It was in the world of Drush that they died. The world of their ultimate significance, their influence on history, they lost that. They weren't dead, but they were dead to history. Both that. That Kavanatosha Maral. We look at Agadata as giving kind of a deeper meaning to the events that are being described. And Rabbi Shulman, and I didn't have this here, but he said something. You weren't here for his Shabbos afternoon shiur on Rut. He made a point. He's going through Rut. Shavuos is coming up, so we should know that. So when we look at Rut, we all know the story, right? When Rut comes back from Moab with Naomi, she's supporting Naomi, she goes to Boaz's field, she's gleaning the field, right? And then Boaz comes in the afternoon in the harvest, Vayomer Boaz le'naro, hanitzav, and Boaz comes to says to his foreman, Lemina zot, who's this girl? Yana na'ar nitzav kotrim, and then the foreman says, Vayomar, says him na'ara Moabiyahi. It's some Moabi girl, he Shashava im Nami Misde Moab, who came back with Nami from Moab. Batomer El Katna, and she said, Let me glean, let me gather with everybody else, Vasapta Bamarim, and I'm gonna go to the bundles and gather, Acharya Kotrim, after all the harvesters. Batabova, and she's been here since the morning, Barata till now, Vzeshavta, Bayat Ma'at, she's only gone left for a little bit. And the implication is that this foreman, this Naran Sevakotrim, clearly wants to get rid of her. Like he can't do anything about her. And finally, the boss is here, Boaz is here, and he'll do something about this foreign girl who just won't leave. And then Boaz wrote, "Hello, Shemat bini biti." Boaz says, "Listen, my child, don't go gather in other fields, right? Stay with all my maidservants. Etc. And you'll stay with here." And she says, she bows down. Why have you found favor in your eyes? She bows down. And Boaz answers and says, who godly, I've been told everything that you did for your mother-in-law, after your husband died. You left your family, you left your homeland, and you went to a land you never that's completely strange to you, you never knew before. So God will pay back your actions. You are full of chesed, I will allow you to glean in my fields. And on that, the Midrash says, this is Rut Rabbah. Let me find my here, right? That when Boaz says, "Lemi hanara zot," where does this girl belong? Right? He comes to his field and he sees a na'ara there who somehow stands out. And he didn't actually know who it was. After the foreman tells, "Well, she's a Moabite who came back with Nami," they realize, "Oh, I heard about her, and yeah, she's wonderful." Before this, he doesn't know. Like Heman shara ota. But she saw her as he's walking his field. She was pleasant. Her actions were pleasant. He asked about her. What did he see? All the other women would lean over and gather. She was very tzanua. She would sit down. She wouldn't lean over when she was gathering. All the other women would lift her skirts. She would leave her skirts down again. She was modest. That's what he noticed. all the other women were flirting with the reapers, with the workers. She was tsanua, she stayed by herself. All the other women were gathering amongst the bundles, which you're not supposed to do for leket. You're just supposed to take individual sheaves. But she knew it, what she was doing. Zum leket min hefker. She only took the individual lost stalks. He saw something different about her. Right? She was tsanua. She knew what she was doing. She was following halacha about leket. She wasn't getting the bundles. The problem with this midrash is it's the exact opposite of what the text says. Okay, we already said that right, over here, right? What was she doing? She was the Asafta Ba'amarim, right? She was gathering the bundles, not the individual stalks. The text says explicitly. And that she wasn't staying by herself, she was staying Acharei HaKotzrim. She was in fact with the workers. She wasn't being tsanua when said the Midrash says that she was being, the other women were flirting with the workers. And in fact, when she goes back to Naomi and tells her what happened, okay, but Toma Ruth HaMoviah, and Ruth, who is a Moaviah, again, she's always called that. She's a foreigner. She doesn't know how things are supposed to work. Yom Ki Yamar Alai, because Boaz, after being so nice to me, told me, Im Na'arim HaShe'alit Tibakim, go stay with all the Na'arim. Stay with all the my servant, my male servant, right? Na'arim. Ayashim Klo'atzir. But that's not what Boaz told her. Right, Boaz told her, let's go back up here. Right. Maid servants. So she's hanging out with the men, even though, right, which is not something bad. She doesn't know better. But Boaz clearly says, you go stay with the Na'arot. And she says, well, he told me to go with the Na'arim. So that's where I stayed there. And then Naomi answers back, Toma Na'ari Naomi El Rut Kalatai. After Rut told her, well, he told me to stick with the Na'arim. Then Tobi ti ki titi im na'arotah. No, you really should be staying with the na'arot. Okay, it's inappropriate for you to be hanging out with the men there. Well, yifku say, okay, don't go another field. And the Medrash can, and a different part of the Medrash says the same thing. Amar Rabbi Chanin Bar Levi, this is also from Rut Rabba. Vade Moabiyah hizu. That she was a Moabiyah. She didn't know how a nice frum girl acts. Stay with my na'arot. He amra im na'arim asher li. I heard him talking about the na'arim. I didn't notice the difference. So that's what Rabbi Shulman says, that, well, you're right. At the level of Peshat, she was gathering the bundles. She didn't know the halacha. And she wasn't being as new as she probably would have been if she had known what the right way to behave, let's call it. But the level of drash in the midrashic sense, Boaz saw something deeper in her. She had the potential. The fact that she had chesed meant she was someone who could convert into becoming a Bat Yisrael. So in the Olam HaPeshat, Ruth was doing everything wrong. The Olam HaDrash, she was doing everything right. She had that potential on a spiritual level. She would, she was going to get better. This she had the potential there, and that's what it means to look at take a midrashim seriously, but not literally. I just like that example. They don't have it over here. So that's the idea of understanding how the Melitza expresses the Dvarim Chachamim b'Chidutah.
But Danny, that's interesting because it also talks about, how you see people. Do you just see the superficial stuff or do you see deeper into what's going on, what they're trying to do and what they could possibly do?
Right, and I think that's the important part of what, specifically the way Mishle looks at these things that we're calling Adita. Mishle is saying this is how you're going to look at people, right? Not just the superficial level, but go deeper than that. Try to understand them, right? See who they could be, what they mean, because that's really it's a much deeper level of truth than simply the Olam HaPeshat is the
Also, it
Okay,
makes
just a piece.
Boaz look better.
Yes, definitely. Right, the foreman wants to kick around. Boaz immediately says, "No, I know what you're seeing. She is the one who came from Moab and accompanied Naomi here. No. By tomorrow, she'll be gleaning according to Lach, and she'll be staying with the Naro, and I'll be doing everything just fine. This will get better." Part of the problem with Agadata then is that you can't say for sure what it means, right? I mean, we're saying, okay, it's all a mashal, it's all metaphoric, don't take it literally, so that I can get feel the story and try to understand what it means. But you can't say specifically, this is clearly is what it is. This is what was intended by these Agadata. The Rambam famously, in his introduction to the Mish to his Perusha Mishnayot, says that after he's finished, he wrote that as a young man in his 20s. After he's finished with his Perusha Mishnayot, he wants to write a book on Agadata, Sefer HaShavot, about the equivalent of correspondence of what things mean, what in Agadata. And he never wrote that. Says he's going to. And in the introduction to Morning Nebuchim, which was written at the end of his life, he says, "You know, I intended to write this book, but I realized that these concepts really can't be put into words. So if I was going to try to explain them, I had to explain them with other Mishalim, and I wouldn't have accomplished anything. So you can't really write a book of what the Agadata means." So Yerushalmi says explicitly about that. Agadah Chagiga says, "Ein morin agadot. You can't pass down lacha from Agadata. Somebody does something in an Agadata, an Agadic story. You can't say, obviously, that's literally the right thing. That's the halacha." And so the Michtam Eliyahu Dressler says this in one of his letters. Like, what do I do with that? But now, if I get it, I got it. I have no idea what it means. It seems far too weird. What he says is, "Vashev she'alta." So this was a letter addressed to him. He's the Mashgiach in Manchester, England. One of the students asked him, and you asked, "Laskir lecha." Shmuel Nagid was a medieval Spanish commentator who wrote what is called the Mavoa Talmud, an introduction to learning Talmud. That's the one today. And it says over there, "Hainu and we," Rav Dessler says, "explained Agada Asher Lovinam, that if you see an Agadic story that you don't understand, you have no idea what you're supposed to get out of it. And don't learn it. The smoke of alayhem, and don't try to change your behavior based on that. Torah, unless you understand what kind of you feel that you understand the yisod, the base of the Torah that's there. Halacha, but if you're learning that something that's halacha, that's practical. It says do this. Mitzvot, there, whether you understand why or not, halacha says this, you're still going to do that. You still need to learn halachot if you have no idea what, why. Agadata, don't stress about it. Agadah yesh ba ba shehi ba'al hayiralev, but agadah, which is meant to inspire you, already calls much lanu. And if it doesn't inspire you, we've katnu because you're of your limited understanding, right? When you take it on faith, there's some meaning there. You don't get it. You don't see anything. You're not getting out of this. Then enanu mechuyavim. Then don't spend any time on it. So you get to the point where you actually do understand. That's true about that. So it says it's not, it's divrei chachamim v'chidotam, so you can't just read the chidotam. Right? I don't like reading the Medrash says. You know, the little book of Medrash stories, because I don't think you're getting that much out of it. You start with the divrei chachamim, understanding the principles. And so it's telling us that learning Sefer Mishlei will give us the sensitivity to see, understand the wisdom of Mamre Chazal. Anything? Sorry. Didn't fit. What's wrong? Okay, I'm fine. What? This and now almost finished this. This is a quote from Rav Volba, the Ali Shur, in his introduction, talking about Musar. Maral, I'm going to go back to the Maral again. Kata ki derech halimud shel Agada, eino dome la derech halimud shel Hashemaitata. That the way we look at Agada is not the same way we learn. The Shemaitata literally means that which is heard, meaning halacha. Shagada ena mitbareret ayide kushiyo. We don't try to ask people halacha questions about Agadata. Can't do that. In Cain, ma derech halimud shel Agadata. So how do you sort of look at these Agadata? Rabbeinu Balei Musar, and the answer is we look at them as sources of Musar, of morality. They were very eager to learn Haggadah, and they revealed the way the way we're going to go. This is a Rashaz, the this is Shlomo Zalman thing, can't remember his name, the Alter Michael. Nishmat Eden Amar, as we said, Amar Chazal Hu Kochav. Look at this, these Agadic statements as a star. But telescope, the Roto, Bivur, and the telescope that we use to look at this star, clearly who Musar. We look at it through the eyes of Musar. Kavanatabazel, he means, that these statements may be enlightening, but they're far away, probably high at altitude. Like a star, the distance of a star from the land. So we can't try to understand it superficially from our limited perspective. So how are you gonna understand what this means? The answer is I'm gonna learn Musar, try and become a better person. Then you'll understand that these stories will help fill in the gaps and understand what they mean. And then the Talmud of the Alter Mikelm, who is with Rav Volba's teacher, I forget the name of these, exactly who he was referring to. And he said in a book called Akamadut Milin,
And who does he add more nun ayin? What's that?
Admor
And
is a title,
more
and Nun Ayin means Nishmato Eden.
is that a name?
No, it's a title. It's like Zecher Levracha or Olav Shalom.
Oh,
Nishmato
Nishma.
Eden, may his soul be in Gan Eden.
Oh,
So
Nishmato.
this is right. He mentioned his name beforehand in the introduction here. It was Rav Volba's Rebbe. That's why
Okay.
he's addressing it. Whoever that he was a student of the Alter Mikelm. Said in his book Adut Milin, it says Rabbeinu Zal Omer that the Alter would say Shemefare Hachim Bufchar Al Torah Hi Adam Batzmo. That the best way to understand the words of Torah is understanding yourself. Once you understand your own potential. Your own character, you'll understand the most exalted things, and the deepest secrets, you understand these kind of statements. So work on your own personality. When you become a better person, then you'll be able to understand what these stories are trying to teach and you'll understand from within yourself. Understand these words from Chazal, Abraham Avinu, Shem Lamad Torah. Like the idea that Abraham figured out what the Torah said from understanding himself. That's not that you make up the halacha side, but at least the Musar side of it. We are trying to understand what's right, then we understand what the stories are trying to teach us. Right? If you understand what it means to be human, you understand what the Torah is trying to teach. That's the really what someone was saying. That's what Mishlei is all about. I'll give you all these nice things to learn. And then from that, you become a better person. You understand everything else that's in it. And then the last pasuk of this first paragraph ends with the idea of Yirat Hashem, Reshita. Again, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. We talked about this pasuk already. It all starts from Yirat Hashem, realizing that God exists. Chachmu Musar, but wisdom, Musar, discipline, Avilim Bazu, that the Avila is one of these words of for fools, but he says the opposite of Yerasha. Okay, that's more of the crazy, the one who may know Musar but doesn't feel it. It's not that, it's not inside them. And so the way we avoid that by this year, sense of Yira, of awe, that there's something out there greater than ourselves. That's the mission in Pirkei Avot. Anyone whose Yira, sphere of sin, his awe of God, comes before his wisdom, then that wisdom will endure. But if your priority is being smart over yirat chet, then that wisdom will not endure. And so the Mitzvah David on our pasuk says that yirat Hashem, meaning atachil daber dvara. So here's the first statement. Everything before was introduction. This is my audience. Here's the first thing you got to know, and you have to know that yirat Hashem, etc. So lomar, meaning reshit lemod hadea, that before you try to understanding this wisdom, yikne yirat Hashem. To start with this yira, this humility, the idea that I don't know everything, I'm subject to a higher power. Kia lalo avilim rishayim, the fools, the wicked, bazuot hachachma musar, they despise the wisdom and discipline that we're going to talk about. Im lo yikne yirat Hashem bereshitam, and so if they don't get this yira, matua, then what's the point of learning it? You're just going to miss the point. You're going to say this is all stupid. You're going to despise it. And this is Rav Soloveitchik talking about what Yira does. That we start with the experience of love of God and the drive to oneness with Him, the norm, meaning halacha, the idea that if I love Hashem, then love means never have to say I'm sorry. The halacha retreats. I have no space for doing the right thing. However, the consummation of unity of God is neither desirable nor possible. Indeed, the identification of God with man is blasphemy. So that the love of God, right? We want to get close. We try to understand Hashem, be one with Hashem, constantly followed by the fear of God. We end up with this yira, which is a consciousness of ontic separation. That's a great expression right there. That's what yirat Hashem is. Being aware that my existence is not, that Hashem is something beyond anything that I can, in my, any part of my existence. My task is only to accept and pursue the norm. I still need halacha. Therefore, mitzvah, maaseh, practical commandments are never eliminated. In a word, fear rehabilitates the norm. So that yirat Hashem is this consciousness of ontic separation, and that allows us to get wisdom. And now we can start learning Sifrei Mishnah. We'll stop here.
Thank you, Danny. It's
And
interesting.